This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Federal investigators have announced that a former Boston University cancer researcher fabricated data that appeared in two scientific journals. Sheng Wang worked at the BU Medical School Cancer Research Center until last month, and he agreed to retract the two papers, which were originally published in 2009.
Wang's case is only the latest example in what's becoming a troubling trend in the field of academic research. The rise in retractions due to either human error, lapses in the peer review system, or in some cases, outright fraud.
Gautam Naik, science reporter for The Wall Street Journal, wrote today that in 2001, scientific journals issued 22 retraction notices. That number jumped to almost 340 in 2010, a more than 90% increase. I spoke a little earlier with Naik, and I asked him why he thinks the retractions are on the rise.
Well, one reason is that there are more scientific journals being published and more papers being published. But even if you account for that, you'll find that the rate at which retraction notices are being issued is much, much higher than the rate at which journals are increasing in number. So one of the very likely reasons is that there's more spurious science, if you will.
In your story, you report that it seems the overwhelming number of these retractions are coming out of journals of medicine. And in particular, you focused on The Lancet, which comes from the United Kingdom, one of the preeminent medical journals. Several years ago, they published a study about combining two blood pressure medicines, which turned out to be very problematic later. Can you tell us a little bit about that initial study?
That's right. In 2003, there was a study with only about 330 or so trial patients, which showed that two popular high blood pressure drugs were much better in combination than either taken alone. This kind of created a spark in the community of doctors and other researchers involved in this area, and many doctors started to change their prescribing patterns. It turned out, though, that for half a dozen different reasons, this paper was completely spurious, and it was retracted.
Nevertheless, it took some 6 years for the retraction to be issued. But what I find very interesting about this particular case that you reported was that the first red flag went up after the paper was published by a Dr. Regina Kuntz, who read the study and said, "These results seem too spectacular." And she then told you that the peer review team that was supposed to examine the paper before it's published should have caught this. It should have been noticed. So are we seeing a failure of the peer review system here?
To some extent, yes, at least according to Dr. Kuntz. She said that there were two problems with the paper. On one hand, the results just were too good to be true. So that's a red flag right there. The other issue was what she called a statistical result. And it's not a very complicated one. I can explain it in few sentences. Basically, if you have, 100 balls in a box, 60 are red, 14 white, and you pull out 10 each time, you're not going to get 6 red and 4 white each time. In the long run, you will, but not every time. And in this paper, it appeared that every time the researchers seemingly pulled out 10 balls, it was exactly in proportion to the number that were in the box. She says that kind of a thing is something that the statistician who looked at the paper as part of the peer review process should have caught.
These scientific journals are incredibly important, obviously, because doctors and scientists read them. They decide how to prescribe medication based on the latest research. Millions of dollars in follow-up research are spent based on some of these very high-profile papers. So, I wonder, it seems like there's part of the problem is that there's pressure on both sides. There's pressures on researchers to do headline-grabbing studies, and there's pressures on these journals to publish spectacular results. So given that, do we expect to see more retracted papers in the future?
Well, that's true. Pressure is rising on all fronts. I would like to say something, though, that the proportion of retracted papers is still very, very small. In terms of the competitive aspect, absolutely. There are a lot more PhDs on the planet today in any field than there were ever before. At the same time, the grant money has decreased, and so you have a lot more researchers chasing a smaller amount of money and positions in universities and other institutions, and that competitiveness could be spurring this increase in retractions.
If that's the case, how to rein in the problem in the coming years?
The editor of Lancet, Richard Horton, suggested to me that one way to do this would be to be a lot more skeptical of results that are especially positive. And obviously, when it comes to a fraud, case of fraud, they need to move more swiftly. And the longer they take, the more real-world effect this problem could have. And especially when it comes to the field of medicine, it's imperative to move more quickly in trying to figure out whether something in a paper is correct or incorrect.
Gautam Naik, science reporter for The Wall Street Journal, thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Coming up on our program, the dangers of bath salts, not the little rose-scented crystals for your tub. These are a new breed of synthetic stimulants, a so-called legal high that local lawmakers are trying to make illegal. Stay with us. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.